When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of the morning to you, Austin Bechtold. It's beautiful outside, it's sunny, and it's nice to be back. So how are you, and how have you been?
It's great to be back with you, Bob. It's been a while. I hope you enjoyed Ireland. It looked incredible.
I'll tell you, it was one of those places that, you know, you sort of have on a bucket list one day and never know if you're ever going to get there, but I would highly recommend it for those who want to just go and experience the culture there. It's a great place, some beautiful areas. You go to the cliffs, you see different things, you go in town, it's walkable, great pubs, people nice. Everything about it was great, and it culminated with a Steelers win, which made it all the better.
It did, and that was a pretty entertaining game, a game that the Steelers dominated for a large portion of it. Hopefully, I will be as successful as Crowley one day, and we'll be able to have a nice chartered trip over to Ireland.
You'll get there. You're well on your way to getting to that point of situation, so you'll be fine. I just want to say it's nice to be back, and looking forward to talking over the next 4 hours about a lot of Steelers. I also want to send out, you know, my thoughts and prayers and best wishes to Joe Starkey, who is dealing with some family issues in Buffalo. And, you know, hopefully everything goes well there. But that's a tough situation to go in. Any of us who've been there where your parents, you're taking care of them and things are happening, you got to respect the love that we see from Joe toward his family. And that's always tough to do. So hopefully he'll be back soon and we'll kind of reconvene.
Yeah, no doubt. He's been in our thoughts, and we've really just been thinking about him throughout the entire situation and just hope for the best for him.
Yes, indeed. In the meantime, we'll carry on as he would like at 412-928-9370. Off the Talk top here is presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have a rundown of what's going on, and Austin, I'll let you do the rundown because you're setting all these things up. I know we have a lot of Steeler talk today coming up.
Yeah, a lot of Steeler talk. The big boy will join us. Kabali in studio for an hour. How about that at noon?
How about that?
That'll be one very hour. Fun.
He's here quite a bit, I noticed, in various shows. So good for him.
He never is usually in studio with us, though.
No, this will be the first time.
And he even said that he could come in studio. How about that? Kabali stepping up.
Yeah, I think he saw an opening. Come in here, stretch out. You know,
I love it.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him about what happened in Ireland. What else?
Let's talk to Dan Zangrilli about what's going on with the state of the Pirates moves at 1 o'clock. And then Brian Bacco will join us to end the show, 1:35.
And this will probably be the last time the Steelers are together on the South Side until they get their mandatory bye, which means off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, before they get ready for the Cleveland Browns. And that's where we're going to start here today, because the Cleveland Browns have made a change to their quarterback, which is not a surprise. Dylan Gabriel now has been put up to the starter position with Joe Flacco as the backup, and Shedeur Sanders is still mired as the third-string emergency quarterback. It's a state of the AFC North, and I would like to get your opinions on it out there at 412-928-9370, just because I think it's not gone the way most people thought. The Ravens are in the cellar, along with the Browns. The Bengals are 2-2, but they look like a fraud 2-2 with no Joe Burrow. It's just continuing to get, I don't know what the score is the last couple of games, 48-10, 28-3. Whatever that adds up to is disaster if you can't score more than 13 points in two games and your defense is as bad as it is. So after 4 weeks, the Steelers are in pretty good shape here. Absolutely they are. With 3-1, a bye week, which I thought at the beginning of the season was going to be kind of early for a bye week, but given all their injuries, and we've seen that Jaylen Warren missed last game, this hamstring thing is going around here. We have JPJ with dealing with an injury. Maybe he'll get back after the bye week. Also now, it's Jalen Ramsey, it's Calvin Austin, Alex Highsmith was still out, not sure if he's going to get back, but the bye week, again, bottom line is it happened at a pretty good time for the Steelers. What that means, though, is after the bye week, they're going to go on a run where they're going to be playing every single week, which means if injuries do start to pile up, then that's what pretty much can dictate how things go. We've seen that with Baltimore. They've got an inordinate amount of injuries, including their quarterback now, Lamar Jackson, who is out this week and could be more weeks. Boy, I tell you what, Baltimore, we knew they had a really hard start to their season playing the teams they played. But in this last game against Kansas City, they looked like they were just in a different league, the Chiefs. Four touchdown passes for Pat Mahomes. That defense of Baltimore has not been what I thought it might be.
Well, no, and Matt Ibike is now out for the year on the defensive line. That is a big loss. They just have not played with good continuity. You know, we talked a lot about what was the Steelers' issues over the first couple of weeks, scheme and or was it execution? There is a lot of heat brewing on Orr, their defensive coordinator, that a lot of people are, you know, throwing a lot of the blame on him for not putting the players in the best position, because that's a very, very talented defense. It should be a better defense than even the Steelers, I think. Talent-wise.
It should be, but it's not so far. And the other thing is these AFC losses pile up their tiebreakers potentially down the road. When you lose to Buffalo, when you lose to Kansas City, those are tie-breaking situations. The Detroit loss was just, you know, again, their defense failed them in a game where there was a lot of points scored. So Baltimore certainly has its problems moving forward, as does Cincinnati. Cleveland, I just don't think, has the right cast of people there on offense. Their defense is pretty good, but their defense can't win it alone. So we'll see. I think the Steelers are in pretty good shape. It's a quarter of the way through the season, so I don't want to overhype it, but I do think they're in much better shape than most people thought. 412-928-9370. I want to remind you the Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. So now the Steelers look into their future, and they see a bye week. Then they see back-to-back games against two very beatable AFC North teams. They should go 5-1 before they head into really what would be the teeth of their schedule after that. They have some tough games down the road. That's why these wins matter, just as last year. And if you remember, they started in 10-3 last year, but then everything got tough and then they fell apart. Different situation here with Aaron Rodgers. All right, Austin, your take on Aaron Rodgers. Better or worse than you thought for four games?
A little bit better. And you know that my expectations were pretty high for Aaron Rodgers to begin with. But he's taken care of the ball for the most part. He's done a good job of, I think, changing things at the line when necessary. He's created a calming presence for the offense, Bob.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it.
Where there is actually a threat of play action, and they can execute on play action. How about the red zone? They've been flawless in the red zone. They've scored a touchdown on every single drive except, what, one? When they've reached the coveted red area that Mike Tomlin likes to call it? I think that's the Aaron Rodgers effect, how he's just been able to, you know, get different people involved on offense. I still want to see the tight ends more involved. But I think that the way that Rodgers has been able to execute has been very solid.
Yeah, and I think the best illustration of that came at Croke Park when he put a ball right on the money to DK Metcalf. That's a slant pattern that's going to have some congestion over the middle of the field, a place where seemingly the Steelers didn't want to go too much the last couple of years. Well, he's not afraid to do it. And on that slant pattern, if that ball is anywhere else but where it was, Metcalf has to adjust. He has to stop his speed. You saw that on Jordan Addison's throw. Carson Wentz put it up there. He's wide open, but he didn't lead him. He threw it up. He had to stop, then restart, which allowed Peyton Wilson to come back and make a tackle. So accuracy matters when you got a guy like DK Metcalf, and he can turn it on right on the money. And that's why that play was successful.
Who is the last quarterback that we've seen play for the Steelers that could make that back shoulder throw to Metcalf right, like legitimately, like 6 inches over top of the defender's shoulder? Early in that game when Metcalf
grabbed it. Ben Roethlisberger.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's that added effect that we're seeing with Rodgers. At 41, he could still make all the throws. He can't really move very well. We know that. But as long as he's protected, and credit that offensive line, that was their best game protecting Aaron Rodgers all season.
I also thought it was their best day in run blocking.
Yes.
You know, they needed to do it knowing that Jaylen Warren wasn't there, but I give the coaching staff credit because they didn't deviate from what they wanted to do, which was run the ball against Minnesota's defense. And they got a very consistent performance out of Kenneth Gainwell, who, by the way, I think is the best bargain in football right now at less than $2 million a year for him.
And he was good in Philly, too.
Yeah, but he was more of a reserve, and that's, I think, what they thought of him here. Caleb Johnson was supposed to be the guy stepping up in this kind of situation, but it's Kenny G, as they call him. And so he, man, 99 yards, three touchdowns in three games now it is, or how many games? Four games? Is it three? I think it's three touchdowns.
Yeah, I think it
is. And that's
three.
More than a lot of the elite running backs in the game have had so far. So if they continue in that respect, moving the football down the field and setting up play action, they're going to get open receivers.
That's as many touchdowns as Derrick Henry has fumbles, Bob.
Well, there's something wrong there, too. I mean, he didn't even touch the ball in that Kansas City game all that much. I would have expected them to keep going back to him. I know he fumbled a lot, but he's their main weapon, really, on their offense. If they get him going, it opens everything up. It opens up Bateman. It opens Hopkins, Andrews, all of them. And they seemed like they were hesitant to go back to him after those three fumbles.
Yeah, and if I was Baltimore, Bob, I mean, honestly, I would try to run Lamar less. Just because he's getting older, he's seemingly getting injured almost every year. If you lose Lamar for an extended period of time, they're only going to lose him for a couple of games. There's a chance that the Ravens could lose their next two and go to 1-5. I don't think they're winning the division at 1-5.
No, they may have a hard time winning it at 1-3.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they were going to win the division. That's their way into the playoffs. Now, you look around the AFC, there are some good stories, some bad stories, some teams that I expect to do better. I was encouraged to watch Denver the other night, although it was Cincinnati, and you have to say to everybody, it's Cincinnati right now. Their defense is like a matador, letting everything get right through them. Bo Nix looked really good. That's a team that a lot of people, including Joe, still expect to be there at the end. I'm not sure in what capacity as a division winner. Kansas City reminded me of when – do you remember when New England was playing and they got throttled? I think it was by Kansas City a few years ago, and that was the proclamation of Tom Brady's, that's it.
He's done. The dynasty's over.
The dynasty's over. He's just not, he doesn't have it anymore. And what did that do? That just led to more success. And I think in Patrick Mahomes, not so much him, but their team, a lot of people think this is not going to be Kansas City's year. However, they don't even have Rashee Rice right now.
No.
When he comes back to add to what is a pretty decent group of receivers, I mean, that's going to tell you a lot about where they are, and I still think they're going to be a factor in this.
Well, they did get Worthy back, and that definitely helped with their explosiveness on offense, plus the injuries that the Ravens sustained. It was the perfect storm. It was the hot knife through butter moment for the Chiefs just to be able to find, plus being at home, too. I wonder if it would be different in Baltimore. But, yeah, I guess we can officially write off the Chiefs. I've already proclaimed that they are done and have said that they're not Super Bowl contenders this year. I'm going to stick by it.
They're not done. Explain done. What does done mean?
Well, done in terms of
winning, going to the AFC Championship game for the sixth straight year?
If I was putting my Super Bowl bubble together, the Chiefs are outside of that bubble. Just because teams like even the Ravens, where they are right now, I think are still in that bubble. The Bills are in that bubble. The Lions are in that bubble. The Eagles are in that bubble. The Rams are in the bubble. Maybe Washington is in that as well. The Chargers are in that bubble. I don't think the Chiefs are going to win their division. Going on the road to play a playoff game in Baltimore, in Buffalo, I don't like their chances. That's why they're not in it right now.
Okay. I'll wait and see on that one. I still think they have that championship mentality, and they have a tremendous head coach. Their defensive coordinator is probably still the best in the game. He dialed up something the other day against Lamar Jackson that I don't think they knew it was coming the way it came on a blitz. So Spagnuolo's still pretty good. 412-928-9370. Now I have a question about my computer, since, Austin, you're a part of the millennial group here.
Yes.
Right? My cap lock thing is stuck, which means I can't get on this stupid thing. I don't know how to get it off.
Have you tried just, like, pounding the key a couple of times to get it unstuck?
I've pounded the key a lot.
Yeah.
That's not doing it. Banging the drum ain't working. So maybe I'll go to a commercial break and we can figure it out together, because I don't know what it is. But it's awfully difficult to log in when everything's in caps. And that's not the way it is.
Yeah, that can be a problem. You're going to have to unplug the keyboard and then try to plug it back in.
You'll be doing that because
I
don't trust myself
on
any of these electronical things. But this is what happens when you're not part of that group you're in. 412-928-9370 is the number. Let's go to the phone lines. We got some people want to talk.
Let's start with Martin. He's in Uniontown.
Martin's in Uniontown.
Bob.
What's up?
Hi, guys. Hey, Bob. Hey, I watched that game Sunday. I think the Steelers are going to be okay. All they got to do is just take one game at a time. That's all they got to do.
Well, that's fine, Martin, but the competition level is going to increase. I would say win the games you're supposed to get win, and these are the next two.
Yeah.
They have two games here. Yeah. I know one's away in Cincinnati, and everyone underestimate, you know, those division games because they can be tricky. But they need to get to 5-1. And if so, you know, the Packers have shown, because they'll be up after that, they are a team that is it the Packers on Packers are in there either next week after Cincinnati or the week following that. But they're not they've given up 40 points here in a 40-40 tie. They lost at Cleveland. They're maybe not as invincible or Super Bowl bound as a lot of people think. So, but they're still going to be a very formidable opponent. You have Detroit on that schedule. You have Buffalo on that schedule. You have the Ravens twice on that schedule. So there's a long way to go here, but it's a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start. And, Bob, I'm glad they got Aaron Rodgers. He can still throw the ball. Now, if that offensive line can just keep giving them the protection and, just protect them a little bit more, and who knows what can happen.
Well, if he doesn't get injured, Martin, thank you for the call. If he doesn't get injured, I think the guy can be very effective. I mean, we've seen that. And you talked about the red zone. That's exactly where the difference lies. He was very good last year in the red zone, even on a 5-12 team. When they got to those areas, he's been around long enough. He knows how, you know, and what to do. I thought it was interesting that he basically waved off the head coach, Mike Tomlin, when it came to kicking that potential field goal at the time. And that was a 4th-and-3 situation.
Yeah.
Which is more unlikely to convert versus a 4th-and-1, which they had later. At that point of the game, I was surprised they did not kick the field goal. It would have made it a 2-touchdown game.
I was actually okay with it, but I didn't necessarily like that they ran the ball. Because it kind of felt like, I mean, and I know that they were rushing for like, what, 5 yards per carry prior to that?
Yeah, but 3 yards on a shrunken field is different.
I'd rather throw it in that situation.
Yeah, options.
Throw it up to DK Metcalf. Do an RPO. Throw it to Darnell Washington. Right. We've already seen that on a 2-point play this year. Why that wasn't the call, a little surprised by it, because when you're so in tight there in the red zone and it's 4th down, you kind of expect them to do a bootleg play. And well, the Vikings were ready.
All I know is that I think I still would have – the conservative part of me goes for 3. It makes it difficult for them. They have to score 2 touchdowns. And even though they got one back real quick, which was, again, a miscommunication of some degree back there, Jordan Addison should not have been that wide open. But give Peyton Wilson credit because he showed a lot of hustle and heart just outrunning him. He took the angle and beat him down the field. But that play, if it's right on the money, where Jordan Addison doesn't have to stop and then restart his run.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Probably is a touchdown, and it saves Minnesota 40 seconds on the clock, which I think would have been helpful to them going on.
And those types of hustle plays, I mean, that's what Mike Tomlin preaches. That's what we hadn't really seen in the first couple of games as well for this defense. Huge, huge play. Those are the little things that can win you games and be difference makers, depending on what – it doesn't even matter what time of the game it is. It matters.
Yeah, and I really think that you know, even though they eventually scored a touchdown, it cost them 40 seconds when time was really not their ally. They needed those 40 seconds. So hustling like that, I'm sure Mike Tomlin pointed that out. Next, do we have a next?
Yeah, here's Robin West Mifflin.
Robin West Mifflin, what's up, man?
Hey, Bob, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, man. I'm wonderful. I was talking to my man, City Limits, behind the scenes, man. I'll get to that after I tell you this. I can't count Baltimore out, man. You can't. Even if they're 1-5, we're 5-1. Because I'm gonna tell you this, Bob. All those teams that they played early, those are going to be L's for us later. Like, I'm a Steelers fan, diehard, but I'm going to keep it authentic before I just get on here. Like, we're going to lose to Buffalo. We can't beat Buffalo. We're going to lose to Detroit up there. Like, it's going to come down to the wire. We got to win. We got to win. I mean, they can go on a run, but we got to continue winning, too. Like you said, this bad came early. Hopefully, we don't, you know, stumble into some late injuries down the stretch. Because if they get healthy, man, they still got Lamar Jackson. I know their defense is trash, but I'm not counting out Lamar Jackson, man.
No, I'm not either, and I would never rule them out. Honestly, Rob, they're a team that has faced probably the hardest competition they're going to face all year. I think their schedule eases up now. They got a lot of injuries to deal with, so these are games you expected them to win at the beginning of the season. Maybe not so much now, given all their injuries, but it's a long season. I think we saw that last year. I just mentioned 10-3 start for the Steelers last year, and at that point, people were talking big time expectations, and it never materialized after that.
And one more thing, real quick, Bob. I just heard City Limits say that Kansas City isn't in the bubble. Like, come on, man.
That's right, Rob. No,
he said
they're
done.
Not. They're
he
out.
He said they're done.
They're out of the bubble, Rob.
You see what Worthy just did? I'm not saying one person could change it, but I'm gonna give to that to Harmon. Changed the defense. That's another story. But Worthy changes that offense, man. Period.
You don't think that it has anything to do with the beleaguered Baltimore defense, Rob?
Hear me out. You believe in Justin Herbert?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Are you serious? Who lost? He had 3 interceptions all last year. And then had 3 in 1 playoff game. And then the year before that, what? 22-0 lead and lost? You believe in him over Pat Mahomes?
Yes. His roster's better.
City Limits.
His roster's better. His roster's better, and I like her. And I liked Harbaugh as well. Yes.
I'm taking Pat Mahomes every year, him and Andy Reid, over anybody in that division. Until they're done, that's what I'm taking, man.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention Rashee Rice not even there, but he's going to be back soon, too. He has 6-game suspension.
Bob, I didn't even want to bring him up. Because once Worthy stretched that defense, him and Juju is going to chew everybody up underneath. And I ain't even talking about Brown. Brown's going to get himself together, too. City Limits, don't do it, man. Don't do that.
I already did, Rob. I already
took
did,
the plunge.
Rob.
Kansas City is dead, D-E-A-D.
They are no longer in the Super Bowl bubble, Bob. They are not in the Super Bowl bubble.
Well, I'm not gonna say that because I know and I agree with what Rob is saying. That's a difficult thing with that team. That's a talented team. They know how to win. That's the other thing. They know how to win. And I think you need to show that. You know, anytime you get to a fourth down situation, you have to consider all the factors. I get all that. But when you're 4th and 3, it's different than 4th and 1. After that play that didn't work at the goal line, Minnesota goes and scores. So they have an opportunity then later at 4th and 1 with the game pretty much still in limbo.
Yeah.
If you convert, they're done. It's 1 yard. And a lot of people did not understand punting there, and especially punting into the end zone. That seemed like, okay, Waitman's going to hit that out of Croke Park the way he's going. What's he doing there? He's not going to try to pin him? Because they only needed a field goal at that point.
Within a 24-hour span, I watched James Franklin punt from the 36-yard line of Oregon and result in a touchback, a net of 16 yards.
Well,
awful decision there.
Terrible. I get that.
And then Mike Tomlin on 4th and 1. I mean, Franklin was, what, 4th and 9, 4th and 6? Tomlin, 4th and 1, chance to put the game away at the 40, punts and results in a touchback. I mean, where's the aggressiveness? I'm not saying you have to be Dan Campbell and go for it on 4th down every single time. But go out there playing to win. You know, don't just say, oh, well, our defense will definitely get us stopped.
It's a mindset issue, too. It's one of those where you say to yourself and your team by doing it, I trust you guys. We want a yard. We talk about getting a yard all the time. This is you. Go ahead and win the game
for
us. Yes,
show some faith in your offense.
And I think that does show up in terms of the team. Now, every situation is different. When you have a field goal kicker to the caliber of Chris Boswell, you know, when you know you're going to make automatic points. If you remember, even in the game where he hit the 60-yard field goal, right? That what preceded it was a third down play, and they tried to go down the field. I think they knew that they had made up their mind. There was a 60-yard field goal coming, and we'll try to even get more yardage on a PI or something. You know, so I like the way they did that. But when you're 4th and 1, game's on the line, and you've run the ball the way they have, and they've moved and controlled the offensive line, I think, or defensive line, then you should get out there and just do it. And then if that's if it doesn't work, okay. I'd rather go down that way than giving them a shot. And they had a field goal kicker who can hit it from – they all can hit it from 55 yards these days. It doesn't take all that much movement. So that was a that was not the ending I had foreseen when it was an 18-point lead, but that's exactly where they were. But the bottom line is they got the win. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We'll continue to talk about the NFL, but I also want to talk to you, Limits, since you were at the Penn State game, and I haven't had a chance to get your opinions on this. What does that loss do to Penn State in terms of the big picture?
It makes Ohio State slash Indiana a must-win.
See, that I'm glad you brought up both, because the way that is situated back-to-back is a very difficult assignment for Penn State.
Yeah.
And because you could afford one loss, I think, in this new playoff system, I don't think
maybe
you,
two.
I'd, if it's two and it's if it's to Ohio State and Oregon and you're saying, I don't think that's a good thing.
So I'm glad you brought that up, Bob, because I did some research on this yesterday. There were seven teams with two losses that made the college football playoff last year. Seven. Now, some of those losses, Penn State included, had games that included the conference championship. Like Penn State had one loss going into the conference championship, ended up with two. Ohio State, two-loss team that got in. I think Georgia was a two-loss team.
Notre Dame?
That got in.
Was Notre Dame two losses?
I think Notre Dame was just a one-loss
team.
They
lost at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, it was that Northern Illinois game.
Yeah.
So you can get in with two losses. But as we saw last year with the South Carolinas of the world, the Alabamas of the world, you have three losses, very good chance you're not going to get in. So they need to win one of those two games. Indiana's a top 10 team right now. They're going to play at Oregon this week. We'll see what happens with that game. Like Indiana wins that game, they might be number one in the country. So
they're that good. I mean, they really are playing well.
I don't think anybody expects them to beat Ohio State.
Let's not discount Iowa either. Iowa's a team that when you have to go to Iowa and play, that's never an easy game.
No, that's tough.
So they've made it difficult on themselves by losing that game, a game I thought they would win.
I did too.
And a game I thought Drew Aller would look much better than Moore, the other quarterback on the other side. I knew about him. I hadn't seen him. When I saw him, I said, man, that guy's legit. He's a really good college football player. Whether or not he could be a pro, I don't know. I don't even know where Aller now. What does this do to his? You've been high on his. Are you still?
Did you see my rant, Bob,
no,
on social? No.
I did not see it. But then again, I hadn't looked at a lot of stuff over. I was trying to watch that game, which started at 12:30 at night in Ireland. It got over at almost 4:45 in the morning in Ireland. It's hard to do it. So I had to go back and rewatch it when I got home.
So on Monday, Bob, I announced me, the biggest defender, the biggest supporter of Drew Aller in the
You've
state.
You've changed. Done like Kansas City. He's done like Kansas City.
I have broken up with Drew Aller. We are taking a break right now, Bob. We are on a break. Ross and Rachel, friends, we're on a break. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't get back together. I'm leaving a 5% chance of that open that he can become still the Steelers' next quarterback, but I'm 95% out right now because I was at the Notre Dame game. I was at the Oregon game. I was at the Oregon Big Ten championship game. I was at all of them. Where Drew Aller just continued to do things to break my heart, Bob. And now it's not good for my heart. It's not good for my mind. It brings on too much anxiety.
Even that throw in overtime. You know, I thought he could kind of telegraph that coming.
He did.
And when you do that, that's not a good situation for. And in big moments, that's what people are looking. That's what these scouts want to see. What do you do in big moments, big games? And in those, he hasn't been at his best.
No, the arrow is down right now.
Well, whose arrow is up? Because I look around some of these guys, and Nussmeier, I guess, still is up for me.
Yes, I like Nussmeier.
Arch Manning has to show me more, and I'm convinced he's going to stay for another year of school.
You know who I think the number one quarterback is right now? Well, I put out my rankings yesterday. I have Garrett Nussmeier 1A, just because I like the overall body of work. Mm-hmm. 1B, and he's B just because there's not enough track record. Dante Moore of Oregon can ball, man.
He can, but I would caution you not to overhype one game. That was impressive, and he has that confident look about him, the way he walks around and deals with the huddle. Just his mannerisms make me think he's a confident kid who knows that he can get it done. But you have him jumping all the way. He probably wasn't in your previous list, was he?
He was not.
No, that's a pretty big jump.
He was not in my week one list. My week one list was Aller 1, Nussmeier 2, followed by Arch Manning, then Lenora Sellers, and I mean – Arch is falling off. Sellers is around the bottom of that list. I'm not a Carson Beck believer. I think he's more of a fifth-year guy, goes to Miami, really good roster, more so of a Pickett situation. And Cade Klubnik is awful. the quarterbacks
right
now.
I have no idea what happened to him and them. I mean, they're just falling apart. Maybe it's the, you know, Dabo Swinney has lost his touch with everything. I don't know. But that was, you know, that was a team that many thought could win a national championship. And it just hasn't been their season at all. They've looked terrible and they've regressed quite a bit. I still think Notre Dame is going to come on strong. I think Notre Dame has a kind of team that's going to work its way right up to where they need to be. Early loss, they'll come back from it.
Our guy Johnny and Farrell, Johnny and Farrell keeps tweeting or and putting out on the text line, Rocco Becht is the quarterback.
I've heard his name too.
Other than having half of my last name, Bob, I don't really think that he is the right choice.
I think it's, again, though, we talked about at the beginning of the season. All these quarterbacks look great. We thought there'd be 10 quarterbacks in the first, you know, 40 picks of the draft because they're all good. Goes to show you what it means to let it play out. Let it play out and see.
Yep.
Kenny Pickett situation. He was not looked at as a high pick at all, fourth, fifth round, whatever, entering his senior season, his last season. Turned it into a first-round grade, although that was the wrong situation for the Steelers. But the point is it changes quite a bit. And we'll see as the season and the games become more meaningful where we go from here.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major... That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first two orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pomp and Joe Show rolls on. Bob Pompiani here. Joe Starkey, hopefully we'll be back next Monday. In the meantime, City Limits, a.k.a. See, I'm doing it backwards. You've become more City Limits than you are your own name, Austin Bechtel.
I know.
I always tell you that name is, you see, Chedrick, he throws that out more so now these days.
Donnie kept calling me Limits yesterday, and I was thinking to myself, call me Austin. Bob does.
Austin City Limits. Like, how about both? Put it all together.
I would rather take both, yes. I want people to know my name when I go out and I see people, whether it be at a pirate game, whether it be at an event. I want them to call me Austin. You could also call me Limits. That's nice, but, you know, my name first is important.
Joe has a whole bunch of names for a whole bunch of people.
Yes.
412-928-9370 is the number. We asked for your calls, and we got a few of them concerning the Steelers. Let's go out to Mark, who joins us in the car. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I appreciate you taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to reach out to you guys over these past couple of days regarding this because it definitely seems like an area that's of bigger importance now moving forward after seeing it so much on the game on Sunday. But with all the issues that we were like pointing out with Faltanu and Jones in those early games, like the first two where they kind of looked really, you know, just beaten down by these opposing defenses – to me, it just seemed like such an obvious fix to throw in that eligible guy with Calvin Anderson and to really take the running game to the next level. I don't know. It just seemed like that would be something that they would look to as like an early fix or make a part of their game plan, given that those guys are, you know, don't necessarily have good track records and Troy Faltanu coming back from like a really serious injury. So what I think is it's only going to benefit them moving forward to do that. And clearly it would have been a part of the game plan with Jaylen Warren, given that his status was, you know, determined so late you know, leading up to the game. So I definitely think it's going to benefit them, and I, you know, I really hope to see it a lot moving forward and get those bigger guys up there and push bodies around.
The only thing, Mark, that'll do, though, and I understand it worked in this game. If you look at the snap counts for tight ends, Darnell Washington had by far the most. When you have a guy like Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth on your team and you pay them the kind of money they are getting paid, you wouldn't want them to be more involved. But he's a better blocker when he gets in there, and that was their game plan. You're right, going in. Without Warren, they still were going to do it. The best way to achieve it is to put those guys – they must have said Calvin Anderson's number more so than Zach Banner's entire career. I mean, every time number 74 is eligible.
He was eligible.
He was eligible a lot.
He was thrown out there.
He was thrown out there. But, Mark, yeah, your point is they want to get that run game going, and it's good. But at some point, you've got to sequence out of that and get your other tight ends more involved because they're the ones who are capable of making bigger plays.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it becomes something that they don't have to rely on to get the running game going, but it gives it that nice balance where they can incorporate it here and there to kind of keep defenses on their toes and then check into some good stuff in the passing game, which is what I'm really hoping for moving forward.
All right, Mark, thanks. Yeah, I think that's the big thing, making bigger chunk plays when you can make them, moving the ball. We haven't seen too much of that, though, you know. Austin, they have not thrown the ball deep with regularity. Maybe the longest throw is the Pat Freiermuth drop where he was out of the pocket. Yeah. It wasn't even a designed play, but we haven't seen that. We've seen slants. We've seen you know, opportunities for some yards after catch, but not many down the field yet. That has to be part of what they're going to do in the future.
Yeah, that definitely was. And, you know, they've done things to be more creative over the middle of the field, which I like. It seemed like that was an area that they completely neglected beforehand. I do want to see them take more shots, whether it be rolling off play action. I think that maybe Arthur Smith is just a little bit concerned about the timing. Like, will they have enough time to be able to block up the play? Maybe this past week, because that Vikings defense, no slouch, especially with the coordinator that they have, all the exotic blitzes that Brian Flores throws at you, they were up to the task. Is it a one-off? We'll find out, but I think that should instill a little bit of confidence in you going into the Browns game that you can have maybe a little bit more time because this line is gelling a little bit better.
You have to give credit, too, to the coaching staff because when we came into this game, all the talk was of Kevin O'Connell on offense, the mastermind, the quarterback whisperer, the guy who's going to make special things happen for even guys like Carson Wentz or J.J. McCarthy. And you also knew about Brian Flores.
Yeah.
And yet, the Steelers outcoached them, I thought, in this game. They did a scheme that they couldn't handle, and it looked like, for the most part, they had their way with that team, which is a, you know, given all the hype we heard going into it, was a very nice thing for the Steelers coaching staff.
Yeah, what did we talk about the whole week? That Brian Flores or the Steelers should have never let him go,
right,
which I do still agree with. But it's going to be very tough for Arthur Smith to be able to out-coach Brian Flores. Bobby ran circles around Brian Flores' defense. Like, I was very impressed with Artie. Artie had some things that he pulled out of his bag of tricks. I mean, sure, DK Metcalf just ran a slant route and his speed took over, but still, he put the guys in position to succeed. A lot of quick passes that were effective passes. It wasn't those, you know, screen plays that were easily dissected by defenses over the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, they did a very good job with that, and it got them to a win that not many people thought would happen. The point spread continued to change throughout the course of the week. It started with the Steelers' favorite, ended up with Minnesota up by 2.5 points. And, you know, sometimes you hear Tomlin talk about this all the time. He preaches it. It's ball security and ball takeaway. And if you look at the numbers right now, that's a simple way of looking of how you can win in the National Football League. Right now they have 10 takeaways in 4 games. That's the second most in the NFL. They also have the fewest amount of penalties, which is unique, and it says a lot about discipline so far. They have the fewest giveaways, tied for 8th overall, and they're +7 in the turnover margin. That's second in the NFL. The point is, that stuff matters. Now, can you expect it every week? No. In a New England game, can you look at it and say, yeah, the Steelers were aggressive in trying to take the ball away, but New England should have been better? Yes. All of that is fine. But the numbers in that category normally don't lie. If you take the ball away a lot and you don't give it up a lot, you're typically going to be in most games.
Yeah, typically that's the case, and they've done a good job of that. And Aaron Rodgers, throughout his entire career, has done a good job of taking care of the ball.
Protecting the football, not throwing interceptions.
There's been some PFF turnover-worthy plays this year.
Aren't there all in every game, though? I mean, seriously, every team goes through that stuff. And if it doesn't happen, sure, you can deduct points from someone, but it doesn't happen. So I still have to look at it as a play that didn't work for the defense, trying to take balls away from Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think as they get further and further into the season, though, like when they play the Buffaloes, when they play, I don't want to put the Bears in that category, but the Lions, obviously,
Bears are a
the
wild
Ravens.
Card there. I don't know what they are. They could be really good.
Right.
They could be really bad.
Do you think that Rodgers will be able to have the same level of success or a similar level of success?
I think they're going to have to do more. We have not seen this offense expand necessarily. It's been right. The same kind of thing. They need to do more. They can't be outgained in three of their four games the way they've been outgained. Sooner or later, that takes a toll also. But for now, the takeaways have cleaned that up, and you don't talk about it as much. Before we go to the general and his card of the week, let's go to Paul in Greensburg. Hey, Paul, you're up. What's going on?
Hi, fellas. How are you today?
We're good. Thank you.
The game was a great game, except I just have one problem with what happened Sunday. And it was something that I've always heard Tomlin talk about, that these guys have to play 60 minutes. But for some reason, in the last 7 minutes and 51 seconds of that game, all of a sudden they weren't exactly playing 60 minutes. And that scares me, because while we have a quarterback that is very accurate and can still whirl the ball, he's not exactly the most mobile person. And if they don't continue to protect him, and that line doesn't open up holes better than they have been, although Sunday was a positive step forward, we're in trouble.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. You can't allow teams back in the games if that's what you're suggesting, and that's kind of what they did. That play to Jordan Addison, though, it was a broken play. Should never happen at any part of the game, let alone when they needed 10 points to get back in the game. I have no idea. I have no idea who was to blame more for that. All I know is that he was wide open. He shouldn't have been, given the fact they had
it's 60 minutes. They need to play 60
lead.
Minutes. Thanks, fellas.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. But that's, hey, they got out to the lead. They nursed it along. You don't want to ever do that. Do they make it interesting every week? Absolutely. Can they give fans a break and once win a game 35-0? We haven't seen that in many years. It would be nice to have one of those, and so you don't have to sweat it out. But that makes for compelling discussion, and that's what we rely on here, all these different situations.
Entirely, yes. And, Bob, we heard from the coordinators yesterday. We can get into the next hour what some of the things Arthur Smith had to say. What's going on with Will Howard? Tom Arth spoke on that yesterday. How about that?
Well, it was encouraging, too. And Will Howard was a guy that, when people saw the Steelers draft him in the sixth round, didn't think much of him. But going back to what you talked about with Drew Aller, he's done the opposite. When he's been in big moments, he's made big plays. And I think that's why they were intrigued with him. We'll see what it means. Now, unfortunately, he lost pretty much a whole year here. I don't know that he's going to get involved in anything. But next training camp, I think it'll be Will Howard definitely in the conversation. My bigger question is, what will Rodgers do? If he has a decent season, he's off to a good run right now, right?
Yeah.
Well, how many touchdowns passes? He has 8?
I think it's 8, yeah. He's like fourth in the NFL in touchdown passes.
If he gets and he likes it here and he finds that he can do it one more year, if he's protected, doesn't get injured, he may say, I'm coming back for another one. And if that's the case, does that alter the Steelers in terms of their strategy? I guess it would depend on who the quarterback is, because you can never have enough good quarterback play. And sooner or later, this is going to end with Rodgers, and you still need to figure out the future.
Touchdown leaders, Lamar with 10, Goff with 9, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, Caleb Williams, and Aaron Rodgers all tied with 8.
Caleb Williams has been up and down, though. He's had some really bad throws, too. But, I think they're an emerging team. I think Ben Johnson will take them to places they probably haven't been to. But, yeah, that's encouraging for the Steelers to see those kinds of numbers. And the interceptions, although he's had a few, 3, I think, so far. And there could have been more. Sure, there were turnover-worthy plays. But as he gets older and more into this system before he turns 42, which is coming up, he's still 41. I like to look at him as a 41-year-old.
Bob,
I'm
going to pull a Joe right now. Look at what they're talking about on the TV right there. ESPN Analytics, chance to win the division. Steelers, 48%. Ravens, 45%.
But that's like, right now, that's what it is. But that's like having those numbers to throw at you about having an opportunity to win the game.
Win probability.
I hate those
stats.
All I have to know is when you're up, like the Ravens were on the Bills, it was 99.1%.
Yep.
And they end up losing. So these change week to week. If the Steelers should somehow lose to Cleveland, all of a sudden, that win probability changes dramatically, I think.
And if Baltimore wins without Lamar against Houston?
Although they got problems down there. I don't know what they're going to end up doing. If he misses several weeks, I don't know when their bye week is, too. They're probably later in the year. Can you check that? Because Baltimore probably needs it more than the Steelers have. And normally, again, A week off in week five is not the ideal situation. You'd rather have it more toward week 9 or 10 so you can recoup for the second half drive.
So the Ravens have a week 7 bye. So if Lamar does miss the next two games, he will have the bye to be able to get back in time for a home game against the Bears.
And who do they have next two?
They have the Texans and the Rams. Mm. And the Texans are a desperate team right now, Bob. That's 1-3. They go to 1-4. They're not making the playoffs. Their division is slipping away from them with Jacksonville playing solid and the
games,
Colts.
Are those games both in Baltimore?
They're both in Baltimore.
Okay. As the Steelers have three of the next four at home also. So that's important.
I mean, they're not beating the Rams without Lamar. I don't care that it's in Baltimore. Cooper Rush is your quarterback. They're not winning that game. The Rams are too good.
That's interesting, and it changes week to week. We'll talk more about that. When we come back, though, I want to talk about some baseball news and some players I have on my wish list, which I'll be disappointed again. I'm sure I will be. But if I were in charge, these are the guys I would at least make a legit run at. 412-928-9370. You can listen to the Pomp and Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m., 937thefan.com contesting page. And with that in mind, it's time to go to the General. Jeff Patton, who's on the line right now. And Jeff always does a great job keeping us in suspense. What you want for your pick, Austin? I'm not sure where you're going to go because I have something in mind that it doesn't necessarily tie to the local teams, but I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking baseball playoffs, General, based on what happened yesterday in a Shohei Ohtani card. What, he hit two home runs? He hit one that almost left Dodger Stadium when I was watching the game last night. I think it has to be Shohei.
All right. My pick was going to be that, but I'm going to do something different on
it?
You since you took it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have let you go first.
I'm
so,
sorry.
Jeff, here's mine. Teoscar Hernandez, who I looked at postseason numbers. He had two home runs also last night. He gets overshadowed out there by all the guys they have. One of the most clutch postseason performers you're going to find. So that's out of the left field, but I'm going to take it.
What about Key Brian Hayes, who Reds fans are already starting to complain about?
No, we're not going to have one of those. So, General, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Thanks for having me. Both good guesses. I think we're in danger. If we make Ohtani the card of the week, we're going to have to change the name to the Ohtani card of the week because he's been it quite a bit. So I want to commemorate Dublin. It's a once-in-a-lifetime chance. We're going with number 51 this week. How about Nick Herbig, pressure in the pocket, repeatedly making quarterbacks step up, causing havoc on defense. I have a rookie autograph, Leaf draft Nick Herbig. And I also want to throw in, we can't mention 51 without mentioning 41. How about him tracking Jordan Addison down? So I'm going to throw in a Peyton Wilson. We've talked a lot about Peyton Wilson, mostly in the negative context, but this week we're going to commend that hustle, tracking down Jordan Addison, taking an extra 90 seconds off the clock.
Yeah, that was huge. I mean, a big play, even though they end up scoring, we talked about earlier, that was huge for this outcome in denying Minnesota those extra seconds that they, I think, so desperately needed. So, yeah, those are good picks.
And because everybody loves Ohtani, I'm going to throw an Ohtani card in also. There's going to be plenty of time for him to be celebrated in the next couple of weeks.
What do you look at his – I'd like to hear your position on this, General, and Austin, because I think already you can make the declaration he's the best player in the history of the game. But as time rolls on, at some point, he won't be able to continue to do both, pitch and hit. So, which, to me, it's going to be pitching. He'll do it for a few more years, and then he's going to stop. But is he the best in the game already? If his career ended right now, what would you say?
I think he's in the team photo. And the thing is, Ruth pitched and then hit. He didn't pitch and hit. Very briefly did his time overlap. Ohtani's doing them simultaneously. Can you just imagine if you said, you take another great offensive player, say Pete Alonso, and you go, oh, by the way, he was 10-4 on the mound also. Like, it's not even something that you can fathom.
No, I agree. Austin, I say yes,
oh, man.
Definitely.
I am not there yet, but I do think he's in the top three right now just because of how monumental Babe Ruth was for the sport. I mean, is there going to be a Shohei Ohtani candy bar that comes out just like there was for Babe Ruth? Like
in Japan, they probably already have one.
That's fair. I feel like I just want to see it for another season or two with Ohtani. I just want to see a little bit more longevity like Babe Ruth had.
But already he's done more than Babe Ruth ever did in terms of pitching and hitting together.
The thing with Ruth is Ruth is commemorated, especially in a memorabilia institution. It's Yankees, it's history, it's black and white, it's the salt and the swat, it's the Yankees. Ohtani does a lot of his damage after midnight when we're sleeping, but he stole 50 bags last year, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. You talk about, like, three dimensions, right? It's not just power, not just pitching for a few years. If he keeps another year or two of this, it's going to be hard to keep him off being voted the best player of all time.
General, who's your MVP in the AL, Cal Raleigh or Aaron Judge?
Man, I think if they were in different leagues, they'd both be runaways.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Raleigh catching to me is a big deal. I know there's 50-70 points difference in batting average. Catching and hitting, switch hitting is a big deal. There you go again about the West Coast, though, right? Like, he does a lot of his damage after everybody's asleep. And Judge is phenomenal. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous, but there is an East Coast bias there. And the Yankees always get a little bit of tip. Judge will probably win it, but I can make a case for Raleigh, that's for sure.
I will too, but just because of what you said. And I think the demands of being a catcher, and you got to do that every day and still go out there and hit 60 home runs, I'm sorry. And that team, you talk about value, you know, they without him, they would only even come close to where they are in the standings. So I'm going to do that.
I know this was last year, but when you're the Platinum Glove winner, like, at a premier position and then break the switch hitting record and the catcher's homer record, that's prodigious.
Yeah. General, thank you very much. Appreciate it as always.
You're welcome. You guys have a great week. Take care.
Baseball Card. It's a great place to be. The Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. All right. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And the weather today is cloudy. It's going to be a high of 76, which is better than the 80s. It's the Troy Fautanu weather forecast, low of 64. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group. It's Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. When we come back, he mentioned a name there that is on my list. It's on my wish list for baseball, for the Pirates to go on and at least try to get. But I don't think they will, because they didn't know last year where it would have been cheaper. Now they're going to probably not end up with him, but they'll end up with somebody else lesser than the name I'm going to bring up to you. Which is a shame. They have the money, do it.
Bob,
what I say.
Did you know that the Babe Ruth, the Baby Ruth candy bar was actually named after Grover Cleveland's daughter? That's what the texters are saying. Not Babe Ruth.
Well, how did it become the Babe Ruth candy bar?
Supposedly it wasn't named after Babe Ruth.
Did he have an affair with her or something?
Texter says limits. You're wrong again. Thank you, texter. Baby Ruth candy bar was named after President Cleveland's daughter, not Babe Ruth.
I didn't know that either.
I had no idea.
I just assumed it was, how many Babe Ruths are there? And why would anyone have a candy bar if you didn't do what he did?
Right.
Learn something new every day. I'll tell
you,
these texters are smart.
They're very smart, yes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.